Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River.
Good morning, Daybreak. Pastor Rich is going to be breaking down how Peter preached his sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 38. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All right, now we get back to what Peter is saying. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And here is the answer in verses 38 and 39. And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ.' And he tells you why. 'For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.'" Amen. That is the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In our sermon last week, we dealt with the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2. the account of the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We saw the Holy Spirit had come on them with power. His presence was indicated by the sound of a great wind, the tongues of fire, and the gift of tongues. As we ended last week, a huge crowd was gathering in amazement, trying to understand this strange wonder of each one hearing the word of God in his own language. The noise, which started in the upper room, had attracted a giant crowd to the temple courtyard. Very likely, there were hundreds and hundreds of people crowding around the disciples, hearing what the prophet Joel described as one of the most significant workings of God, the initiation of the last days, the pouring out of God's Spirit himself. We saw how this created a great commotion, and the Jews were astonished to hear Galileans speaking to them in their own native language. The Jews were amazed and perplexed, as it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, some even accusing the disciples of being drunk. They have had too much wine, as Acts chapter 2, verse 13 says. The accusation was made that this was the result of too much alcohol. There are any number of ways to go about studying this passage, all of which would be beneficial, but I want to use Peter's 10 key principles in sharing the gospel. Peter's 10 key principles in sharing the gospel. You see, there's much we can learn from how the Holy Spirit worked through Peter before this crowd of curious listeners, the truth of how salvation is through Christ alone. Before we begin, you must realize that these principles are of value if they are applied, not simply written down somewhere and forgotten. Each one of us from time to time find ourselves in situations where we are surrounded by a group of curious listeners. Some are more ready to listen than others. Peter's presentation of the gospel will help you if you make it a point to apply what you learn, though. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" So, the first key principle that we can learn from Peter in sharing the gospel is there will always be those who ridicule what they don't understand. There will always be those who will ridicule what they don't understand. Whenever things get too serious, some try to avoid the reality by making fun. For example, as verse 13 says, this is just the result of too much wine. Can you see how what is done is the facade of a sarcastic joke? Is actually an expression of contempt for the things of God? You can see this kind of scene played out in any number of situations today. For instance, a high school student is explaining to some of his peers the implications of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection after a thought-provoking sociology class when a few of his classmates, becoming uncomfortable, verbally ridicule and make fun of him in order to squash the discussion. Or how about a young nurse who is told she has no compassion and is sarcastically taunted when she tries to give a scriptural perspective on euthanasia to some fellow nurses working in the geriatric ward? Or an auto mechanic in the car with three buddies going out for pizza after work is laughed into silence when he tries to share with him what God has done in his life. This kind of mocking laughter could have easily crushed the enthusiasm of the disciples if it were not for the confidence they had through the Holy Spirit. Here's a question for you. Have you ever been the one who was laughed at? How about taunted? Have you been taunted? Have you been made fun of? Have you ever been shamed into silence? Then Peter's response to those who mocked him will be of great help to you as you seek to give a faithful testimony of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Second key principle that we can learn from Peter in sharing the gospel is questions can be one of our greatest sources of opportunity to present the gospel. Questions can be one of our greatest sources of opportunity to present the gospel. Certainly not every sarcastic comment is worthy of a response. But when there are ideas or explanations being made that are false or misleading, it presents the believer with an opportunity to speak the truth. The idea that what was going on here at Pentecost was the result of sinful drunkenness was not only disrespectful, it was foolish. The idea that 120 believers would all be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning is rather absurd, particularly when drunkenness was a violation of God's commands. You see, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Peter, the apostle and former coward, is now speaking as an inspired prophet and gives his first sermon to a huge crowd that had gathered. Peter's first sermon is notable for its place in history. The first sermon in the age of grace. For its results, 3,000 saved, and for its application, it is a model for gospel presentation today. Peter begins by pointing out that which was predicted by Joel is coming to pass, right before their very eyes through the events that were now transpiring with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Here's the awesome amazingness of this. What the people had witnessed, the tongues of fire, the sound of a violent wind, the speaking in tongues, was that which was predicted by the prophet Joel some 900 years earlier. Wow, 900 years earlier. All praise to God. In verses 17 through 18, Peter states, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Our third key principle that we can learn from Peter is sharing and sharing the gospel is we must begin with our listeners where they are spiritually. We must begin with our listeners where they are spiritually. These were devout Jews who knew God's word. He takes his listeners from their level of knowledge and begins to expand upon it. Now, our fourth key principle that we can learn from Peter is sharing the gospel is the word of God is our only authority. The word of God is our only authority. In order to use scripture to back up what we say, we need to know it. Peter did not have the New Testament to draw from when he preached on Pentecost, but he did have the Old Testament. And not only did he have it, he knew it. Peter was able to share what the Bible said because he knew what the Bible said. That is why it is essential to have a working knowledge of the scriptures. The kind of confidence displayed by Peter comes from being sure of the truth, not from being able to predict what an opponent will say next. Peter's audience knew the scripture, and so he used it to explain the current situation. The resurrection of Jesus needed to be explained in the light of prophecy. Peter first quotes Joel because Joel prophesied that there would be a pouring out of God's Spirit on the great day of the Lord. Peter then uses this to explain that these individuals were living in the last days. What they were witnessing was a sign that God had begun his final acts of salvation. Next, Peter quotes their well-loved prophet, King David. Understand that each of these Jews awaited the Messiah which Scripture spoke. The problem was that their present earthbound thinking could not see that Jesus was the Messiah. Psalm 16 is used here to let David do the convincing. It needed to be pointed out that David was not speaking about himself, but about the Messiah. The Messiah could not be held by death, a truth readily accepted by the Jews. For the Jews to be buried as the same thing as to suffer corruption. Yet the evidence of David having died and been buried was right before them. Josephus, one of the earliest historians, attests to the fact that in the first century, there remained a monument known as the Tomb of David. This being the case, David was speaking prophetically of the Messiah. Peter points out that what was prophesied was fulfilled in Jesus. David was pointing to his resurrection. Now, our fifth key principle is God's way is not just one of many options available. God's way is not just one of many options available. Twice, Peter demands that this crowd of Jews listen. In verse 14, Peter says, "Men of Judea and Jerusalem, give heed to my words." Again in verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words." When we speak the truth of the gospel message, in whatever form that may take, people must not get the idea that it's just one of many opinions floating around our society. It is the 100% only way absolute truth. Amen? Amen. Our sixth key principle that we can learn from Peter is we must be willing to tell people what God says on the hard subjects. We must be willing to tell people what God says on the hard subjects. Don't be afraid to call sin, sin. Peter in verse 23 says that Jesus was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, while at the same time saying that these Jews were responsible for nailing him to the cross and putting him to death. Peter doesn't shy away from it just because it was a hard truth. It was the truth and still is, and as such, we shouldn't hesitate to say so when it is needed. We don't have to be able to explain all that God does. If we could, he would be a much smaller God than we would care to worship. We simply need to be willing to speak the truth in love. Here's some truth and love for everyone that is here today. I am your pastor, and I do not take that lightly, as I am your spiritual leader. The process I went through to answer the calling of God is very biblical. I didn't seek this position for employment. I didn't seek this position for power. I didn't even seek this position because of popularity. You see, the Word of God is quite clear about the calling process of spiritual leaders. Though the process may vary, God calls whom he wills, when he wills, and how he wills to be his anointed leaders. And as his called anointed spiritual leader, when I say that it is God's will to do something, I do not take that lightly. It would not say it if I was not 100% sure that it was his will. The problem of today's churches is that they have deviated from the biblical calling process as God designed it, and congregations have been given a responsibility to choose their spiritual leaders rather than God. I did not choose this. You did not choose this. God chose for me to stand before you as your spiritual leader. Amen? Amen. Our seventh key principle that we can learn from Peter in sharing the gospel is we must look for opportunities to point out to others that God is at work in the world. Do you get that? We must look for opportunities to point out to others that God is at work in the world. We must become comfortable saying to others that God is responsible for what you see going on around you. Now, I say become comfortable saying because we don't have any problem believing it. We just have a problem making it a regular part of our conversation with unbelievers. Six times in eight sentences, Peter named God as the one at work in the events being discussed. Verse 22, it was God who worked miracles and attested Jesus to them. Verse 23, it was God who delivered Jesus up to death. In verse 24 and 32, it was God who raised him from the dead. Verse 36, it was God who made him both Lord and Christ. When the crowd saw something unusual, they were ready for an explanation. When questions are being asked as to meaning and cause of current events in our day, we need to be ready with the answer. It is God at work. Pop quiz. How does a church body go from nearly extinction to having the largest food ministry in Wayne County? Answer, it is God at work. It is God at work. Amen? Amen. Now to our next key principle, which is number eight, and it is our personal testimony is our strongest witnessing tool. Our personal testimony is our strongest witnessing tool. In this case, it is a corporate testimony as Peter represents the other believers, but he makes it clear that he and the other were witnesses of Christ's resurrection. He does not attempt here to prove that God raised Jesus from the dead. He simply states it as fact and bears witness to it. He says that the resurrected Christ had appeared to him and the other disciples. Peter implies that if you doubt what I say, you can go and ask them. The remarkable thing is that not one voice is lifted in protest in this whole crowd of people. To me, one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection of Jesus is right here at this moment. The fact that Peter could stand up in the city where these events had taken place a little over a month earlier and tell these people that Jesus had risen from the dead, and not one voice challenges him. They knew that the authorities could not produce the body of Jesus, and they would have paid a king's ransom to have done so. They heard the wild rumors that spread through the city that Jesus was alive and appearing to his disciples from time to time. And there is not one voice who challenges what the apostle says. Not one voice. Wow. This is the beauty of our testimony to God's work. No one can deny it. Whereas we may not be able to always defend each point of doctrine, there is no denying God has changed us at the core of our being. The key is to be consistent in word and action. We need to be consistent in word and action. Our ninth key principle that we can learn from Peter is sharing the gospel is the listener must understand the personal application. The listener must understand the personal application. Rather than just speak of what God has done in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, Peter makes sure to include his listeners in the story. In verse 22, he says, Jesus the Nazarene was a man attested to you by God. So you were there. You heard about the miracles. That ought to have brought about some positive response. Verse 23, but you nailed him to the cross and put him to death. Each person had a hand in putting Christ to death, whether their voice was heard along with the multitudes crying, crucify him, or simply their sinful nature required that God's son should die. Verse 33, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, which you are a part of, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. It would be hard to miss the point. He was speaking to you, including you, and those responsible to Christ's death. As a hearer, you would not be able to leave that place without at least hearing that something was required of you because of your sin. This is something we must include in our message as well. We must leave the listener with a sense that what they have heard requires action on their parts. Tenth and final key principle today is a clear witness always tells the individual what God requires of them. This was accomplished in part earlier in verse 21 by quoting Joel, who had said, it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He did not lead them without hope. When the crowds recognized the part that they had played in the crucifixion of God's Messiah, they cried out, brethren, what must we do? And Peter answered clearly, repent and be baptized. Verse 38. But Peter didn't end there. There was one more factor that this crowd needed to hear and act on. And that was that Jesus is more than just the Messiah who had come to save. He is also Lord. Here, Peter quotes scripture again, verse 34, this time Psalm 110, where God himself calls the Messiah David's Lord and invited him to sit at his right hand. Even the great King David had a sovereign, and that sovereign was the same yesterday, is the same today, and will be the same forever. Jesus, the Messiah, must be recognized by every listener of the gospel as not simply the one who can save us from our sins, but also as the one who has claim over our lives. We don't place our faith in him simply because he has something to offer us. We place our faith in him because we must. We may acknowledge his authority now voluntarily, or we will do so involuntarily at the end of our days. Jesus is Lord whether men recognize it or not. It's almost funny if it were not so sad to hear people dismiss the claims of Christ as though he was just an option. It's not true. We must. We must place our faith in him. Amen? And amen. May your eyes be open from this message. Let us reflect upon it. God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.